know what God wants the church to hear. I respect, when you do this, it gives you more respect for the pastor. If any of you don't know what I'm talking about, you're more than welcome to try this out, and then you get back with me and let me know. Because it gives you more respect for the pastor to know and seek God's face, to know what God wants us to hear. And I believe that each time, even during the weeks, I keep trying to find, well, what, Lord, what? And I'll do my study, and I think it'll be here, and he'll move me here, and before you know it. But he's always give me a message for the last two or three weeks to, I feel like, is appropriate in what God wants us to hear. I thank God for that. I thank God for the opportunity to be a servant for him. We all, before I get into the message this morning, we have a new pastor coming. I'm going to tell you right now, he cannot do it all himself. We are a family of God, a family, a member of the body. Each and every one of you there sitting this morning under my voice has a work to do for the Lord in this church. You might not know what it is, but when somebody asks you, you jump up and say, yes, I'll help. Till I find out what God wants me to do, I'll do what needs to be done. Amen? But we need to do that and help take the burden off the pastor. A lot of people, I catch myself that way sometimes. It's very easy to sit back. We'll just let the pastor take care of it. That's a wrong attitude. But I thank God that he's allowed me. And you this morning that have your Bibles would like to, I got one verse to read, and then I will share with you. I feel like what God has given us this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. Very familiar scripture. A lot of you have read it. You know about Samuel. It said in verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be in your house. We ask, God, that you will touch me, thy servant, Lord. Speak through me, God, that what you want me to speak. And Father, put the words in my mind and in my mouth, God, that you want your church to hear. Father, bless us. Touch us, each and every one. God, open our ears to receive your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What I want to ask you this morning, and trust me, I've asked several people this week, have you ever heard the voice of God audibly? Amen. Some of you might be have, and I thank God for that. I've heard him through the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. He spoke to me through the Holy Ghost. His Son has spoke through me through the Spirit that I feel that is living inside of me. But for me to stand here and tell you that I've audibly, like Moses standing on the mount, heard the voice of God speak to me through thunder, I have not. But in telling you and doing this and in studying this, as I was going on this week, as I'd be driving down the road or maybe just sitting looking out, I could see how God would speak to us through his creation, how beautiful the leaves have changed and how beautiful the mountains look with all the different colors. And God speaks to us through that way. And then how someone will come up and maybe say a kind word of encouragement to you. God speaks to us that way. But to hear him audibly say and talk to me, I have not. Do I hear him every day? Absolutely. Every morning if you're at my house around 4:15 to 4:30, I will be sitting listening to God speak to me. Because that's my time that I get my Bible and I try to read. I don't say this to try to pat myself on the back, but I say this to encourage you to find a time in your day that you can sit down and that you will read, just you and the Lord, read the Word of God and let him minister to you and let him talk to you. As we read this to you this morning in 1 Samuel, where Samuel was a young child, he said he did not yet know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed to him. A lot of times we find ourselves like Samuel. Sometimes the word of the Lord might not be revealed to us. We're looking for him and listening to him, but whose fault was that? As we read in the chapter and as we talk about it, it's Eli. Eli had Samuel in there taking, he was raising him, taking care of him. You know the story. If you read a few chapters before, how his mother prayed and how she brought him and gave Samuel unto the Lord, and how Eli took him in. But Eli had not taught Samuel how to receive or how to hear the word of God. Why? Because Eli was in a situation in his own life where he shouldn't have been. As you read in previous chapters, how his sons was over the tabernacle and how the things, the ungodly things that they were doing, and how the things were going on in around the tabernacle, that God even came to Eli and told him, how come you haven't said anything to your sons? And he'd tell them, but they wouldn't listen. He wouldn't do nothing about it. My friend, when we uphold things of this world and we don't say, hey, I don't stand for that, that don't mean I don't love you. That don't mean that I hate you. But I just don't like the things that you're doing that is not according to the word of God. Amen? A lot of times we speak up against things that's happening in this world. They'll call you a hater because you don't agree with them. I don't agree with them. As long as the word of God tells me it's wrong, and the voice of God through his word tells me it's wrong, my friend, it is wrong. And if we allow it to come into our own house, oh, I don't mean to get into meddling this morning. But if we allow it to come into our own house and let things go on in our own house, and we don't stand up for what the word of God says, we can be like Eli. And we won't hear the voice of the Lord. Because we allow things to slip into our life and to hinder us from hearing God's voice. I hear God's voice so many times when I'm reading the scriptures. Or one sometime during the day, I will be pondering on a scripture. And a thought will come into my mind and it'll speak to me through the Spirit of God and through the Holy Ghost. Anybody have the Holy Ghost speak to you? Come on now. My, we all, everyone ought to have our hands raised and let the Holy Ghost speak to us throughout our day. Let him pray, God, come into my life. If you do not have the Holy Ghost in your life, I pray that you need to be a seeking for the Holy Ghost in your life and the baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's what this church is based on. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We believe in the fullness of the power. We believe in the Holy Ghost, but Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away, because if I do not go away, I cannot send the Comforter. And I thank God for the Comforter that's in our life. We need to listen to him. We need to let him lead us and guide us. Oh, the world calls us a conscience, Brother Jeff. I beg to differ. I believe that when God speaks to us through the Holy Ghost, he's telling us to go talk to someone. We need to go talk to them. When he tells us to speak a word of encouragement to someone, we need to go speak a word of encouragement. No, I don't believe he'll tell us to go and get somebody and just get on them so hard that they won't even look up, and discourage them and push them down and hinder them more. No, I don't believe the Holy Ghost will do that. The Holy Ghost will tell us to go and encourage them. Yes, they might be doing wrong, but we give them a word of encouragement. Hey, God's there to forgive us of our wrong. He's there to help us. He's there to lift us up. He's there to revive us. He's there to restore you. I thank God for his voice in my life. We find as Eli was there and Samuel in the middle of the night, hear the Lord calling him, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel had never heard the voice of the Lord. And he ran into Eli's chamber. He said, yes, master, I'm here. What do you need? What was Eli doing? Eli was sleeping. That's a spiritual thing that I'm talking about this morning. See it through the spiritual eye. Eli was sleeping. He's not where he should be with the Lord. He should not. He was where he should have been more in tune with God. To when Samuel came to him, he could tell him, "Go." Well, finally, after three times, finally Eli got woke up, and he said, "It's not me, but it's the voice of God beckoning you. The voice of the Lord beckoning you." He said, "When you go lay back down again, and you hear and say, 'Here I am, I, Lord, speak.'" So Samuel went and lay back down. The voice of the Lord again hollered at him. Samuel said, "It is I, Lord, speak." And the Lord told him about the transgressions of Eli and how that what was going to be done. Well, you imagine sometime when Samuel got up that morning and he said, "I know the master's going to ask me what the Lord spoke to me." Huh? Even though he was at a young age, he knew, well, what am I supposed to tell? We find ourselves sometimes in this day and time we live in, we find ourselves like Samuel. We in society, or we hear it in the news, or we hear it at a workplace that people make statements that, well, I know God's answer. Why do I know God's answer? Because I've read God's word. But do I tell them what God's word says, or do I just try to beat around the bush and not say nothing? A lot of times we do that. But I believe when we get and put in a proper place for it, that when the conversation comes up, we just say, "That's what the word of God says. This is what the word of God says, and this is what I am going to stand on." In every situation, whatever the situation is, if God's word tells you not to do it, you don't do it. Hello? You don't try to explain it and try to pamper it and try to turn it around and change people's attitude or nothing. But God says don't do it, we're not to do it. We find ourselves a lot of times as Samuel, as Eli asked Samuel, "What did the Lord tell you?" The world sometimes is telling us, "What does God say about this or this in our life?" We need to stand firm and tell them, "This is thus saith the word of God, the voice of God. This is what God's word says. This is what it says, and we shouldn't do, and we don't need to be doing it." My, ain't that a big conversation nowadays in this time in society of what's wrong and what's right? We live in a time where wrong is right and right is wrong. Huh? We do. What used to be right is now wrong. What used to be right of going to church and coming together as a body of believers because of this COVID, oh, you don't supposed to do that. You don't need to get in a group of crowd of people. We need to keep separated, but we need to come and assemble ourselves to God. But then when we say what's wrong is right, the things that the society tells us, oh, we have a choice. A woman has a choice, or they have a choice to do this. And not just a particular woman, but anyone. There's a choice. But when God's word says it is sin, my friend, it is sin. But we live in a society that tells us what's wrong is right. And if we're not careful, if we get our eyes off God, we'll just go right along with it. And we'll be like Samuel and not want to tell Eli what God said. Finally, Eli said, "You tell me what God says. So be it, whatever it says, that's what it be. For it's left up to God to do what he's going to do." And he told him about what he had done and how his son had lived and how he had allowed the things like that to come in the tabernacle of God and what was going to happen. You can read it on in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. But we find also that we listen for the voice of God. We listen to the voice of the Lord so many times in our life. And we want to hear it audible. And we want to hear it loud. And we want to hear thunder roar. And we want to see earthquakes. And we find in Elijah chapter 19, after the earthquake, God was not in it. Verses 11 through 13 of chapter 19. Said, "And when there was a wind, and the wind rent the mountain, but the Lord wasn't in the wind." They could see the effects of the wind. Maybe the trees were blowing over and blowing rocks and everything, even after the earthquake. And then there was an earthquake. and they're running to the ground. But after the earthquake, there was a fire. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. Said, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a still, small voice talking to him so calmly. If we're not careful, we find ourselves like Elijah. We're looking for the audible, the loud, the big thunderous boom, and God speak to us out of a cloud, but it's that still, small voice that we need to listen to. Where is that still small voice? It is inside of us when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life. He's there leading us and guiding us. Well, the world calls us a conscience, but it's not a conscience. It's Jesus Christ living to me. As I read the Word, the more Word I read, and the more understanding, the more I hear that voice speak to me in my day-to-day activity, the more Word of the Lord I read and the things that I need to do. Oh, I feel downtrodden a lot of times. Lord, I am way short of where I should be. We all are. We need to do more. We need to praise God more. We need to read His Word more. Be on fire for God when someone comes needing to be witnessed to. That God's Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that we can speak to them through the Holy Ghost and witness to them and compel them to an altar of prayer. Amen. But he said the Lord was in a still small voice. And it came to the mouth of the cave. It was at a time when Elijah was downtrodden. I'm the only one. There's no other that's bowed their knee before you. Finally, when that still small voice and God talked to him and told him there's 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to Baal. There's 7,000 of prophets that's right there with you, Elijah. You're not by yourself. Even after the miraculous thing that he done, and even after God moved on the altar where Brad preached a couple weeks ago about, Elijah got fearful because Jezebel said, "What you've done to my prophets, so will it be done to you." And he got fearful and he ran. But when he started listening to God, and a lot of times we get fearful in this day and time, but we need not to run. We need to listen to God. He's there in our life. He's there to encourage you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to lift you up. If we'd only listen to the voice of God that's inside of us. I pray that one of these days that God will speak to me audibly. I know that He will. Why, He said He'll either say one or two things, not getting ahead of myself. But He'll either say one or two things, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. You have done a lot of you. In other words, you come to me. You've been faithful. I accept you in. Or He can tell one other thing that I do not want to hear, and I pray that nobody under my voice here ever hears it. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. One of these days, God's going to speak to us. What's it going to be in your life? What's He going to say to you? Come up hither, or you've been found wanting. We find in Paul and each and every one of us, in our Christian walk, we have to have the Damascus Road experience in your life. If not, how could you become a Christian? Because I realize, you got to realize, you're looking at someone that's been in church since he's about 7 years of age. I went when I was younger to a Baptist church, and then mom and dad started going to a Pentecostal church. Well, they called it a holiness church, and we went there, and then we went over to South Urban Pentecostal Church, and I raised up, and I said, what are we doing here? This ain't a holiness church. It's Pentecostal. And I hear my dad laugh. It was funny to him because I'm high as a kid. I thought that was the church we're supposed to go to. But to come to find out as I went there and as I went to Sunday school and sat in Sunday school Sunday after Sunday and Sunday evening service, we were there every time the doors opened. Till I was 17 years of age, I went to church. A lot of people probably in church thought, well, Jeff is saved. He's been coming to church all this time. But one night when the word of the Lord come to me through preaching, I realized regardless what my mama and my daddy were, I was still on a way to a devil's hell if I did not have Jesus Christ in my life. It wasn't because I came to church. It wasn't because I played in the Christmas play. Or it wasn't because I'd stand and sing when they sang the congregational songs, my friend. That did not save me. I hear the voice, that still small voice that night, the Damascus Road experience. And we find as Paul was on the way to Damascus to chastise the church, to imprison them, said he fell to the earth and heard his voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? We hear that a lot of times. I hear that one night at church while I was there at church. He was preaching, even though I came to church, even though I sung the songs, even though I listened to the sermons. I did not know Jesus Christ in my life. I did not have him in my life. Anybody else around me would probably say, well, that's a good Christian boy. He's come to church all the time and he's here. There were years that I went that I didn't know Jesus Christ. But one night when that voice, that still small voice, talked to me, I had the Damascus Road experience. I knew that if I didn't have to ask Jesus Christ into my life to forgive me of my sins, that I was going to die and go to the devil's hell. My friend here this morning, as I'm speaking to you, if you relate to what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying. If you have not had that experience and had that still small voice talk to you and tell you, hey, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins and acknowledge him who he is. And when we do, he will come into your life and he will be in your life and you can hear him through the word that we read, or sometimes we can lay at night when we dream and he speaks to us through our dreams. Been there and done that. God spoke to me, or the Lord spoke to me in a dream some time back. And I woke up with tears in my eyes and my pillow soaking wet. And I felt the Spirit of God so strong, even though I was sleeping. I thank God that he comes to us and talks to us this way. Do you hear the voice of God in your life? I've asked several this week the same question I asked you. Do you hear? Have you ever heard God's voice audibly? And a lot of them said no. I said, neither have I. Maybe one of these days out of mind. I'm not saying he can't, because he is the creator of all things. God can speak to whoever he wants to. But he speaks to us through his word. You hear what I'm saying? If we're not careful, we're sitting around waiting for God to say, woo, I want you to go do this or go do that, when we can read the word of God and we'll know what to do, because God's word guides us. We find that in John chapter 10, and in closing, if they will come, verse 4 and 5, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? It says, for they know his voice. My friend, do you know his voice this morning? I'm asking you, do you know who Jesus Christ is in your life? Do you experience and feel him in your life? If you do not, I will open these altars of prayer for you this morning. Come to this altar. Come to know Jesus Christ. Let that voice talk to you inside and tell you you need to come to him. And it says in verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. We're talking about sheep. Jesus talked to them in a parable of sheep, something that people could relate to in that day and time, a shepherd. Everyone in that time would go out through the, leave the city or come back in the city. Even if they didn't have sheep, they knew about sheep. If they didn't know about what it took to take care of them, they would see the shepherds in the field taking care of them. But Jesus used a parable that everyone could relate to, of how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And we find in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and my known of mine. Do you know the good shepherd this morning? Please stand as we're getting ready to close. Do you know the good shepherd this morning? Do you hear the voice of God in your day-to-day activity? Is God still speaking to you? Or are you like Eli and hadn't heard the word of God for a while? God wants to speak to us. He speaks to us each and every day if we allow Him. We just open our eyes up and look around. See the beauty that God has put in this country. The nature, the things that God's created. Let's see a smile of one of your grandbabies when it comes to visit you. That's God, my friend, smiling at you, telling you this is a blessing that I've given you. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for the blessings that He gives us. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I believe that there's someone this morning. Why do I believe this? Because it said God's word will not go out void. Someone here this morning is saying, Brother Jeff, I've not heard God's voice. I've not heard the voice of the Lord telling me and beckoning me to come to an altar. But I believe that He's talking to you this morning, and you know who you are. If I could, I'd come back and get you by the arm if I knew who you were and drag you up to an altar of prayer. But my friend, that won't save you. If I knew it would, I would go back and use every bit of the strength in me to get you up to this altar. But it won't save you. You've got to come to Him with an open heart. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Come into my life and make me afresh and anew. And He will. We find in Revelation, in closing last verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here we go again. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Do you hear the voice of God in your life this day and time? Is God speaking to you throughout the day as you read your scripture? Is God speaking to you and comforting you in the times of sorrow? Is He talking to you through the word of God as you study it? Or just in the day-to-day activity, God will put a good thought in your mind. Every good thing and every perfect thing is of God. If you think a good thought, it's God putting that good thought there. I believe that. I know that. And I thank God for that. I believe as I stand here this morning, I believe this is for someone. Brother Jeff, it's been a while since I've had a good talk with the Lord. It's been a while since I've got to talk to Him. I ask you to come this morning. Let's gather around this altar. Have us a good time of prayer, that God will touch each and every one of us this morning. Have a good time that we can call to Him and say, God, help me in the problems that I have. He'll be there to help you. He comforts you. Come this morning. Hear the voice of God. Hear Him speak to you. Hear Him speak to you, my friend. It's been so many times.
It's a foreign battlefield.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Where I